Hello and welcome to your GCSE English Literature Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of Shakespeare's most fascinating, most debated, and most rewarding plays to study, The Merchant of Venice. Whether your exam is tomorrow or a few weeks away, this episode is going to give you the tools, the quotes, and the examiner insight you need to write a genuinely impressive response. The Merchant of Venice is what scholars call a problem comedy. It has the structure of a comedy, love stories, disguises, a happy ending for most characters, but it also contains some deeply uncomfortable material. Anti-Semitism, forced religious conversion, and a trial scene that raises serious questions about justice and mercy. That tension is exactly what makes it so rich to analyze, and examiners absolutely reward candidates who engage with that complexity. So let's get into it. We'll cover the core concepts, the key characters, the major themes, and then I'll give you my top exam tips and a quick fire quiz at the end. Ready? Let's go. Let's start with the two worlds of the play because understanding the contrast between Venice and Belmont is fundamental to everything else. Venice is a commercial city. It runs on contracts, bonds, and the law. It's a world of risk. Antonio has his ships at sea, Shylock lends money for profit, and the bond between them is a legal document. Venice represents the harsh, transactional world of mercantile capitalism. The law there is absolute. Even the Duke cannot override a legal bond. Belmont, by contrast, is a fairy tale world. It's where Portia lives, where love and music fill the air, and where the casket test, a romantic riddle set by her dead father, determines who she will marry. Belmont represents idealism, beauty, and the possibility of mercy. Notice how Portia's great speech about mercy happens when she travels from Belmont to Venice. She brings the values of one world into the other. Now let's talk about the two plots because they are thematically intertwined in a way examiners love to see candidates discuss. The bond plot centers on Antonio, the merchant of the title, who borrows 3,000 ducats from the Jewish moneylender Shylock on behalf of his friend Bassanio. The terms are extraordinary. If Antonio cannot repay the loan in 3 months, Shylock may cut a pound of flesh from any part of Antonio's body. This bond drives the dramatic tension of the play, culminating in the trial scene of Act 4. The casket plot centers on Portia, who is bound by her father's will to marry whoever correctly chooses between three caskets, one of gold, one of silver, one of lead. The caskets embody the theme of appearance versus reality. The Prince of Morocco chooses gold, reasoning all that glitters is not gold, but he gets it wrong. The Prince of Aragon chooses silver, expecting what he deserves, also wrong. Only Bassanio, who reasons that true worth lies beneath the surface, chooses lead and wins Portia's hand. These two plots are connected thematically. Both involve bonds, a financial bond and a romantic bond. Both test character. Both ask, what is truly valuable? Is it gold or is it something deeper? Now let's look at the characters in more depth. Shylock is the character who generates the most critical debate, and that debate is exactly what examiners want you to engage with. On one level, Shakespeare presents Shylock as the villain. He demands a pound of flesh, he refuses mercy, and he is ultimately humiliated and stripped of his wealth and religion. But on another level, Shakespeare gives Shylock some of the most powerful and humanizing language in the play. Consider the "Hath not a Jew eyes?" speech in Act 3, Scene 1. Shylock asks, "If you prick us, do we not bleed? If you tickle us, do we not laugh? If you poison us, do we not die?" This is a direct appeal to common humanity. Shakespeare is asking his audience, and asking us, to recognize the shared humanity of a man who has been systematically dehumanized by the society around him. Antonio has spat on Shylock, called him a misbeliever and a cutthroat dog. Shylock's desire for revenge is, at least in part, a response to years of persecution. The critical question is, does Shakespeare intend us to sympathize with Shylock, or is the play ultimately anti-Semitic? This is where alternative interpretations come in. A modern reading might see Shylock as a victim of structural anti-Semitism, whose villainy is a product of the society that oppresses him. A more traditional reading might see him as the play's antagonist, whose refusal of mercy marks him as morally inferior to the Christian characters. The most sophisticated exam responses will hold both ratings in tension rather than collapsing into one. Portia is the play's most intelligent and capable character, and she is also a fascinating study in gender and power. In Elizabethan England, women had very limited legal and social agency. Portia is bound by her father's will, cannot choose her own husband, and must operate within a patriarchal system. And yet she consistently outsmarts the men around her. She disguises herself as a male lawyer, Balthazar, and defeats Shylock in court using a technicality that the male lawyers, including the Duke, had entirely missed. She exposes the limits of masculine law with feminine wit. Examiners credit responses that recognize this as a feminist reading. Portia subverts gender expectations not by rejecting the system, but by working within it more cleverly than anyone else. Her mercy speech, "The quality of mercy is not strained, it droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven," is one of the most beautiful passages in Shakespeare, and it positions mercy as a divine quality that transcends the rigid letter of the law. Antonio, the merchant of the title, is a more ambiguous figure than he first appears. He is generous to his friends, but he is also casually anti-Semitic. He has publicly humiliated Shylock and shows little remorse for it. His melancholy at the start of the play, "In sooth, I know not why I am so sad," has been interpreted by some critics as evidence of repressed feelings for Bassanio, making Antonio a figure of unrequited love as well as financial risk. Right, let's talk about how to turn all of this into marks. The single most important thing you can do in a literature exam is analyze language. Not just identify it, analyze it. There's a huge difference between saying Shakespeare uses a metaphor and saying Shakespeare's metaphor of mercy as gentle rain from heaven positions it as a natural divine gift rather than a human achievement, suggesting that those who withhold mercy are acting against both nature and God. The second version earns marks. The first does not. Examiners refer to this as feature spotting, and it is the most common reason candidates lose marks. Every time you identify a technique, you must explain its effect on the audience and link it to the question. Here are the most common mistakes I see in Merchant of Venice responses. First, treating Shylock as a one-dimensional villain. As we've discussed, the play is far more complex than that. Always acknowledge the systemic anti-Semitism he faces. Second, confusing the two plots. The bond plot and the casket plot are separate storylines, but they illuminate each other thematically. Make sure you can explain how they connect. Third, ignoring the ending. The play's resolution is deeply uncomfortable. Shylock is forced to convert to Christianity, a devastating punishment in Elizabethan terms. The ring trick in Act 5 introduces a note of tension into the supposedly happy ending. Examiners reward candidates who engage with this ambiguity. Fourth, bolting on context. Don't write a separate paragraph about Elizabethan attitudes to Jews. Instead, weave context into your analysis naturally. Okay, time for your quick-fire quiz. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, and then give you the answer. Cover your notes if you can. Question 1. What are the three caskets made of, and what is inscribed on the lead casket? The answer is gold, silver, and lead. The lead casket reads, "Who chooseth me must give and hazard all he hath." Question 2. Complete this quote from Shylock. "If you prick us, do we not bleed? If you tickle us," the answer is, "do we not laugh? If you poison us, do we not die? And if you wrong us, shall we not revenge?" Question 3. What is the legal technicality Portia uses to defeat Shylock in the trial scene? The answer is, Shylock's bond entitles him to a pound of flesh, but not a single drop of blood. He cannot take the flesh without shedding blood, which is not in the bond. Question 4. What does Portia say about the quality of mercy? The answer is, "The quality of mercy is not strained, it droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath." Let's bring it all together. The Merchant of Venice is a play about the tension between justice and mercy, between the letter of the law and the spirit of compassion. It asks us to look beyond appearances, at the caskets, at Portia's disguise, at Shylock himself, and to question what we truly value. For your exam, remember these three things. Analyze language at word level, engage with the complexity of Shylock's character, and integrate context naturally rather than bolting it on. The most important quote to know? I'd argue it's Shylock's "Hath not a Jew eyes?" because it encapsulates the play's central moral challenge and can be used to discuss prejudice, humanity, justice, and Shakespeare's dramatic methods all at once. You've got this. Good luck in your exam, and remember, the examiner wants to reward you. Give them something to reward. See you in the next episode.